6:23, God is here and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. And we stand, please, as we sing. Well, just a wee word of prayer, seek the Lord together. Father in heaven, we do thank thee that again on this Wednesday evening we have the health and strength to be in God's house. And we thank you too for the throne of grace that we can come to. And Lord, we can offer prayer even in keeping with the words of the hymn that we have been singing, let it come. O Lord, we pray thee, let the showers of blessing fall. And Lord, tonight we ask as we meet together before thee in expectancy that the Lord would come and refresh our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you might meet with us in a special way that would encourage us along the road. And Lord, we pray for everyone and every family that is represented here. We do pray that the Lord's blessing might be upon us in these days and continue to meet every need. We do pray that, Lord, that you'd be seen to be at work, even in answering prayer regarding our loved ones. Thank you, Lord, for so many times, even in these past months, that Paul has been with us here. And Lord, that is a very direct answer to our prayers. But Lord, we're praying for him and for William and for Angela and others, Lord, that are often on our thoughts, Lord. We do pray that God would be pleased to save them before too long. And Lord, we remember all of the need here. We remember those who meet in Sunday school and in the youth, in the Bible class. We pray for the young people that you would sustain them, that you would grant to them much encouragement and direction in the days ahead. We do pray at this time too for those who are unwell. We thank you, Lord, that you have answered prayer even in the way that we asked regarding some folk, and there has been that improvement. And Lord, we're grateful for even Beatrice being able to come out on Sunday. And Lord, for all that you've done for Eleanor at this time too. And Lord, we're asking for them and for for Hilda, and Lord, there's others, and they need that touch from thee. And we pray that the Lord, even in an answer to prayer, would draw near to them and grant to them that needed measure of health at this time. We do ask for our churches, that you bless all of our ministers and our students, bless our laymen too. And Lord, as we approach the summer months, we pray that the Lord would move, even in a time of year when, even in the normal circumstances, there's probably not so much on compared to other times. But Lord, we ask that even in these days, that the Lord would move in hearts and we would hear of many coming and trusting the Lord. We do pray for our meetings on Sunday. We ask that you would meet with us again. Bless thy people, Lord. As some come back this week from a little break, we pray, thank you for them, those that have come home, and those who may still to come. We pray that the Lord would keep his hand upon them. And Lord, for Shannon on Sunday night, we do pray as she gives her testimony, Lord, that you would lay liberally to her hands. And as we pray together and we work together towards the Bible Club, that the Lord would prepare young hearts for his word. So Lord, we're grateful again tonight just for the opportunity to be here. And ask you to continue with us now, be with those who would often be present and can't tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you turn your Bible, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 1. Of Matthew chapter 6. You're very welcome tonight in the Saviour's name. Thank you for coming, and trust the Lord will answer the prayers that you offer tonight here in his house. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight just to those words in verse 9, where it says, Our Father which art in heaven. That's Matthew 6 and verse 9. We'll have a wee word of prayer maybe just before we turn now to the word together, please. Father in heaven, we do pray now that you would settle us down before thee to thank the Lord for thy love and goodness. Thank you, Lord, that even whether it is in our homes or out and about, Lord, we're constantly reminded of the Lord's provision. We thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you, too, for even seeing God's hand answering for us and moving for us in spiritual matters in the lives of others, too. And, Lord, we're praying tonight, especially as we meet here, and some folk, because of other reasons, can't be here. But, Lord, there are some
that are just not well enough to be out. And we pray that the Lord might draw specially near to them. They would know encouragement. The Lord would come alongside. Bless them richly. Bless us here. People are here, Lord, because we have burdens. We have loved ones that are not saved. And we must pray them in. And Lord, we're asking tonight that you would help us even through thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him," that is in the Lord, "that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." And maybe you're a Christian just like me who sometimes you really don't know where to start and exactly what to ask for given any particular situation. Well, over there in our shorter catechism, I'm going to read out question 99. It says, "What rule hath God given for our direction in prayer?" And then it says, here's the answer. "The whole word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer." This prayer that you and I have read tonight, I mentioned it to you, I think, last week or the week before, and I've been thinking about it since that, on and off, and this disciples' prayer, or commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, it is to be highly esteemed by us. The Lord Jesus Christ is aware of your needs tonight. And they may be more complex than you want to let anyone else know, and that's all right. But he knows, and that is the main thing. And God the Father's will toward us, when he gave us this prayer recorded in his word, is that we would remember it. Now, we spoke about vain repetition. That does not mean that you can't come along to the prayer meeting here and pray for the same general things all your days. There's nothing wrong with that. It is the vain repetition is the thing. Pious language to impress, and the kind of thing that was associated with the scribes and the Pharisees long ago. This is a great prayer. This prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Jesse Ryle said it contains a germ of everything which even the most advanced Christian can want. It's not a great thing. It contains a germ of everything that even the most advanced Christian can want. And therefore, it is ever relevant. And it's right up to date for what I need to pray concerning my family and concerning my walk with the Lord and what I try to do for him. It's not very long, you'll notice that, but it's very comprehensive. And really, the preface to it is, "Our Father which art in heaven." And tonight, in a few moments' time, you and I are going to be coming to the throne of grace together, special time in prayer, where two or three are met together in my name. There's more than that here tonight. And we will be coming, and we are coming aware of his majesty and his power, and yet we look upon him as our Father in heaven. You think of tenderness and compassion and love and goodness. And I hope as we just think of those words, "Our Father which art in heaven," for a few minutes, I'm going to draw your attention to four words. And here they are. First one is motivation, then allocation, then adoration, then declaration. I won't be long with any of the points, so I want you first of all to notice here there is motivation. It says here, "Our Father." I'm sure that, just like me again, in your Christian experience, there are times when you feel more weak than you want to let on. Well, the weakest Christian, when he even in his heart prays to the Lord, The Lord assures him of audience because he's your father. Because he's your father. Over there in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to read what it says. Don't worry about turning to it. Proverbs 15 and verse 29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." And that's the assurance you have tonight as you come before him. And I have spoken to Christians, I'm thinking of one in particular now, some time ago, and they were almost convinced that God wouldn't hear them anymore. And I had to, the best I could, assure them that because they are in God's family, they are assured of audience with the Lord. That will help us to pray tonight. But there's not just a thought here of audience. There's a thought of affection. Whenever we're speaking here, "Our Father, which art in heaven," I want you to think of something here in Acts chapter 18. It says there in Acts 18 and the verse 25 concerning Apollos, who was a preacher. It says, "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord." And we knew that in that time, at that time, we knew only the baptism of John. But it's the word fervent there, a word that is found in various other places in the New Testament. And it means to boil over. It means to be completely zealous. And it means to have a great desire for something. And that works both ways when we look here at affection. You and I come tonight, we love the Lord because he first loved us, but we're all big enough and experienced enough to know sometimes that love can wane cold. Or we can find ourselves with that love not where we want it to be. But are you not encouraged tonight and motivated to pray, not only knowing you have audience with the Lord, but to know that his affection toward you never changes? And yes, those times that you may think of now when maybe you feel you let him down, his love toward you never changed. There is audience and affection, and there is assurance. Most fathers that I know, and I'm not going to say them all because human people are fickle and fallible and they're prone to be selfish, but most fathers will do whatever they can to help their children. And very few, if they come to their father seeking some kind of help, very few will turn them away. I know one man who did. He's dead a long time now, but he was actually related to my father's side of the house. And over in one time in his home, maybe 30 years ago, here in Northern Ireland, I never forget him saying it, that his son, he was an old man then, his son had come looking for something, and he said, "I told him no. I said, I told him, I tried to get you a good education." He said, "You go and do it for yourself." Now, that's just his business, but I couldn't do it. And I'm sure, I don't think you could do it either. And certainly, when you and I come to the one who gave Christ to die for us, remember, when he gave Christ to die for us, everything else that we ask is less than that. You ever think of it that way? When Christ came to Calvary, heaven was emptied of his best. So everything else we asked is less than that. And tonight, I trust this will give us motivation as we come to pray. We're going to move on then here to allocation. Now, we know that this is a prayer that you and I don't know many times we've heard it all, praying, "Our Father, which art in heaven," at a funeral service perhaps. And I don't tell anybody not to pray. I would never do that. But when I look around me, I've seen some of hoods and some of the greatest gangsters that I've known. I've seen them all praying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." While God is the Father of all in a sense of creation, he's in a special way and in a family way. He's our Father because we're born into his family. And you and I come tonight again, and this prayer is allocated to us. He gave it to his disciples, not to the whole world. You look at the words of it very carefully, and all of the petitions that are in it, three to do with us and they're three to do with him. It's all to do with Christians, those who are in his family. And you and I tonight, God is your father in a special way. We call it sometimes by special decree. And if you look there, what it says in Ephesians 1 and verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That is God's eternal decree. Loved us from eternity, and he loves us today. And after all the aeons of time, he will still love us every bit as much. And this prayer is allocated to you. Is it not a good prayer to look at and to try to look upon? It's a pattern prayer to try to learn from it. Special decree. But then we think of we're his because we are sons, because we are born into his family. Whenever we come as sinners to him, I might read what it says in John's Gospel. It is in chapter 20. John 20 and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. These were the greatest words that she had ever heard. I go to your Father, my Father and your Father. And that is something that will keep us stable as Christians, remembering that we are sons of God. The world may reject you, but remember tonight that you and I are born into his family. Over in the Word of God, we read of Abba Father. I'll actually just read it for you. Sorry, there's so many references here to turn to, but it's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Because ye are sons, that's what we have just mentioned, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. Now, the word Abba is an Aramaic word, and it simply means Father. So really, you could read that verse crying, Father, Father. And the word Abba is a word that denotes the closest of family intimacy. And that is where you are tonight with the Lord. And this is the prayer that he gives to us. So whenever we look at the prayer and the petitions that are in it, and in some ways make those petitions our own, like lead us not into temptation, and then think of forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Many a Christian held a silly grudge for years, and it did no one any harm, only himself. And then he found when he let it go, he was a happy man again. We need to read this prayer. It's a great prayer. There is motivation then, allocation. But think of adoration here. We're coming to the one who is everything that I just mentioned in the meeting tonight so far. We ought to come to him, before him, with honor. Over in Luke, and you can read it yourself, Luke 14, where it says there, except in verse 26, except a man will leave his father and mother and so on and follow the Lord, he cannot be his disciple. If you look at that verse in the original language, you'll see that it very clearly does not refer to anyone falling out with their kinfolk. It's not saying that, but rather it's referring to preeminence. Preeminence. To him having the preeminence. And when you think of adoration, you think of honor. And the world dishonors him today. Yes, there are people at great cost honoring him, and we try to honor him. But whenever you come before him in prayer, surely this adoration, it means there is honor. It also means there's humility. We're just creatures of the dust, prone to fail, as we've done before. But it also should mean there's a heart for each other, because in that prayer you will notice it's not my Father which art in heaven. Constantly, it is our Father. It's a collective body of people, and that's what you and I are tonight as we come before him. So we're on good ground, folks, as you come with all the things that we're going to pray for in just a few minutes. But there's also the thought here, the final word is declaration. It says, which art in heaven. That again gives us cause for encouragement, because anything in heaven is perfect. And you and I, as we look to him, we know that he is omnipresent and he is with his people everywhere. But whenever he's there in glory, as you and I pray to him, that ought to fill my heart with reverence as well. With reverence as we think of the perfection of him. But think of his providence. I don't think I've said anything tonight so far that would have anyone here think that he makes mistakes. His perfect providence. So you see here, the preface to this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, it sets the tone. It ought to tune our hearts. But there's also the thought here of pity. We're thinking of declaration that he is, which art in heaven, indicating his perfection, his perfect providence, but also his pity. And I'll make this the last one. Turning to at the present time, it's Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children. And anyone here who's a father has done that. Maybe sometimes we felt that they didn't deserve to be pitied, but many times we pitied them. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him or reverence him. And as you and I come to the throne of grace tonight, whatever thoughts may be in your mind regarding unworthiness, he's not thinking that way. And he's not thinking of our failures, but rather he's thinking of our needs and our weakness, because he is the one that we read in the word that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So as you and I think tonight of this preface to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, we are on great ground if we seek to follow the pattern. They're very simple, but so necessary to keep us honoring him and to keep us going on with himself. I trust the Lord will help all of us as we read it maybe again at home and try to follow that pattern, that he will encourage us and answer for us much in these days.